Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
We're going to pray tonight, and I hope you can stay with us to prayer. I'll get you out here at 8 o'clock, I promise. All right, I'll come back and formally dismiss us at 8. I'm not going to talk a long time tonight because we're going to pray, but I've had so many people, not even in this church, but I had a guy stop me yesterday in Lexington, and I said, "Yes, sir," and he said, "I've been listening to the podcast about Calvinism and Arminianism." I thought that was awesome. Well, I was at Asbury today, Asbury Theological Seminary in Wilmore, Kentucky, and I had someone stop me there that's been listening to it. And so people are very interested in this subject, and if you're listening to our podcast, no matter where you're at, I'm glad that you're participating in it. I want you to be reminded that we're building precept upon precept. So if you're listening, please go to covenantcc.net and listen to last week's. And today we're going to focus on Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. But we're going to go to another scripture before we get there, all right? All right, everybody ready? Say amen. Now, if you look at your notes, let me go through it. I laid out last week the definition of Calvinism, which is where we get the concept, once saved, always saved. The reason they believe once saved, always saved, is because they believe in Romans chapter 8, verse 24, predestination, that God predestined, he foreknew who he predestined. In other words, God chooses who's going to get saved and who doesn't get saved. He chooses who's going to hell and who's going to heaven. I've got to be honest, I got a problem there. I believe God chose everyone, and then you choose if you get in or not. Arminianism believes that you have free will, and that there's something called prevenient grace. What's interesting is if you ever come across anyone who calls themselves a Reformed Calvinist, a Reformed Calvinist is someone who believes in common grace. They believe a little bit more along the lines of an Arminianist when it comes to prevenient grace, and they actually are great soul winners. Arminianism teaches that you need to live a holy life before God, and I agree with that. You know, I do agree with the Calvinists that you're not kicked out so easily or quickly. I think it's much longer than any Pentecostal or Fundamental Baptist ever thought in a million years. So we're going to go on a journey, and I'm only going to answer one little simple question tonight, and is, can you lose your salvation? All right, let's go. If you'll notice, there are 4 points to Calvinism and 4 points to Arminianism, and we're going to go back to that later, but I want you to go to the end of your notes where it says, number three, what is apostasy? I gave you all the fill-in-the-blanks last week. If you want the new fill-in-the-blanks, call the office, we'll email them to you, or you can come up and look at these notes after we're done. But it says, what is apostasy? Apostasy means to fall away from the truth, and it's very important that you understand that. Now, let's talk about some terms. Arminianism, or Wesleyan holiness, which means traditional Methodist, old Methodist. You ever heard of old Shouting Methodist? All right, that's what you would call an old Wesleyan, a Wesleyan holiness. They believe that you got to walk a holy life, and they believe that you could lose your salvation. And if you live a life that's ungodly, some of them may go so far to say that if you are doing something completely wrong and the rapture takes place, you're going to be left behind if Jesus comes back while you're doing something wrong. Calvinists believe that you're sealed until the day of redemption, and Arminians believe that too, but they believe that once you're saved, you're always saved, and you can never lose your salvation, and if you did lose your salvation, you weren't saved to begin with. And so they both kind of put themselves in a deal. So let's look at the word, because last week I laid down Calvinism and Arminianism and the difference in the doctrines. I want to tie it in and build the foundational structure to ask what is apostasy. To ask what is apostasy, you must ask yourself as an Arminianist, what is backsliding? Is it possible to backslide? In other words, I was on fire for God watching Christian television every day, and now I can't take it no more, and I don't even come to church. It's backsliding. Used to love God with all my heart, and everything went bad, and I left him. Or everything went good, and I left them. That's where a lot of people are at. And they just didn't keep the focus going. And there's a lot to the Bible when it says, they that endure unto the end shall be saved. I want you to look at some questions. So here it is, apostasy or backsliding. In Genesis 4 and 9, it begins to talk about the possibility of backsliding. But I want you to go to Galatians. I want to stick with I want to be very narrow in these Bible studies on Wednesday nights, because there's so much room to go left to right. I want to just narrow in on the scriptures. Go to Galatians chapter 4. Let me show you something. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 9. But now, since you know God, or rather have become known by God, how can you turn back? That word there is the word for backsliding. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 9, in Genesis chapter 4, verse 9, the actual word in Hebrew, there is a word for backsliding. There is not a word in the New Testament for backsliding. Okay? So when you enter into the New Testament, you will not find the word backsliding. That's something people have come up with, Arminianists have come up with. You know, you're backslid. In other words, we assume that you're not even saved anymore. How many of you know that when you were living kind of wrong and kind of going off course, that you still felt the presence of God, prevenient grace, or it was that grace? That's the argument here. And so when we look at the backsliding in the New Testament, it's not there. But this book in Galatians 4, verse 9 says, when you turn back again to the weak and bankrupt, underline this word, elementary forces. Now notice this. I got some good Greek very quick tonight. I'm going to answer the question, can you lose your salvation? And we're going to go deeper into this in the coming weeks. Let's read it again. But now, since you know God, ginosko, which is a very intimate word, know, or rather have become known by God, God knows you, all right? How can you turn back again to the weak and the bankrupt elementary forces? Look at that. Elementary forces. Do you want to be enslaved to them all over again? In other words, God set you free. Do you want to go back? Because there will be seven devils stronger than the ones you got rid of that are going to come back trying to get your house. You observe special days, months, seasons, years, and I'm fearful to you that perhaps my labor amongst you has been wasted. Now, if you cannot backslide, and I've given you 39 scriptures about apostasy, if you can't lose your salvation, then why or how can you go back? Go with me to go with me to 1 Timothy 5 and 15. Let me show you something. In 1 Timothy 5, 15, you will see, for some have already turned away to follow Satan. Some, implying those that were saved, turned away, implying those that used to be in the way that have turned the way. When you were in early Christianity, you were never called a Christian. You were called followers of the way. That's what they actually called early Christians. Christians means little God. You little Jesus is running around. For some have already turned away to Satan. Some have already turned away. Some have already turned away. So how can you turn away if you can't turn away? Now go with me to 2 Thessalonians, and this is the one where it needs to perk you up. Everybody watching the news right now, go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it puts the hair on top of my head. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering to him, we ask you, brothers, do not be easily upset in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by message or by letter, as if from us alleging to the day of the Lord, the coming of the Son of Man has come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come. Now, how many of you believe we're living in the last days? I'm getting ready to do a sermon series after this one we start in September called The Coming of the Son of Man, The Signs of the Time, on Sunday morning. But look at what it says. It says the coming of Jesus cannot happen. Don't let anyone deceive you that Jesus has come and he's already went back. For that day will not come unless the apostasy comes first. And the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. Speaking of an antichrist, if you're a future eschatologist, and we are as a church, we believe that there is an antichrist and a 7 years of tribulation that's going to happen. That tribulation cannot, the antichrist cannot arise within the 7 years of tribulation until there's been a great falling away, the Bible says. And I want to tell you, I have watched out of 24 horrendous experiences since October 1st in this church, people make it and people not make it. And the enemy's working full time. Can I get an amen? But he that endures unto the end is saved. So what the scriptures say. And I believe the devil's trying to knock out everyone that he can knock out. And the Bible says before the Antichrist is revealed, that there will be a great falling away in the church. The people who knew him, served him, loved him, no longer love him. I didn't write this. It says it right there. People who went to church, tithe, love God. I know one right now that you sit right over there every Sunday. Ain't seen him in 2 months. Why? Sin. The bottom line. Can anything call it whatever they want to call it? It's sin. You let sin in your life, it takes you away from God. Now, I am as grace-oriented as anyone in the room. You know that. However, I want this congregation to make sure you understand that grace is not a license to sin. And that holiness is still okay with me. Still okay with God. Forget what I think. Still okay with God. For us to be whole, integrated. It's where the Greek or the Latin comes from. Integration, holiness. And you have to realize that the Bible says you got to live right. And what I want this church to understand, if I don't get nothing out of my mouth tonight but this in prayer, we've succeeded because we've loved one another. But you need to understand something. Just because you got grace to cover your sins and you don't have to walk around like an extremist Arminianist or better known as a fundamental Baptist or a holiness Pentecostal person that thinks you got to do all these things to get into heaven, you may have come from those traditions. I want you to know something. That does not mean that sin cannot endanger you and steal your soul from you. And you got it. What you need to do, if you were raised in an old Pentecostal church or you were raised in an old Baptist fundamentalist church, you need to listen to me. You need to listen to me really good. You've got grace to grow up. You got grace to experience the grace of God. God ain't going to run off and leave you just because you make mistakes and sin. He says, if you sin, I'm faithful and just to forgive you of all those sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But those of you that believe that grace covers you and you can live any way you want and you are experiencing the grace of God after coming out of bondage, and that's exactly what that is, bondage, where you walk around in fear all the time. You got to understand something. Sin is dangerous to you. And I want to introduce a thought that you haven't heard a lot in the 21st century, but I'm probably going to write a book on this one when I get done with the 2 books I got to release this year. I'm going to write a book on Calvinism and Arminianism and once saved, always saved. That's not the argument, whether you're once saved not or always saved. That is not the argument. The argument is not whether you can lose your salvation. I'm going to answer the question. Can you lose your salvation? No. I lost my keys. I didn't want to lose them. You don't intentionally lose your salvation. What does backsliding mean? Does backsliding mean that I cannot, that I'm away from God if he comes back tonight to be left behind? I don't think so. Number one, it's not in the Greek in the New Testament. And every time someone begins to backslide, God tells them in the Old Testament, sends a prophet to them like Jeremiah, and he says, repent. Come back home. Get things right with God. Tighten that fellowship up. In the New Testament, he sends the church after people. When you see somebody you don't see, it's just as much your responsibility to go after a backslider as it is mine. So I'm very careful, and let me, before this comes out of my mouth, I want to make sure you understand something. I know that one day I'm going to stand before God and I'm going to be judged for what I teach you and what I've taught you. I understand that. I understand it better than anybody in the room. But I think we've got, that people have got it wrong. It's not backsliding leads you, it means you're not saved. No. Backsliding leads you away to the place that it changes your thinking to the point you open up to apostasy. And so you're not losing your salvation. You're knowingly, willingly walking away from it. He says, he that endures unto the end is saved. These are scriptures. I don't give a rat's rear end what the Baptists say. Somebody say amen. Or what the Church of God says. And I'm licensed with them. And I love their doctrine. But they need to understand grace a little bit better. Well, let's prove that. I want you to go and understand. Go to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4 through 8. Let's go there quickly. I'm actually starting a new Bible study at 6 o'clock on the book of Hebrews. What you need to understand about Hebrews is it speaks a lot about apostasy. The book of Jude, the half-brother of Jesus, the leader of the Jerusalem church, after Jesus died, after James gave it up, Jude took it over. Jude is there, and I've got to go slow because I've got to write some words out for you. Let me prove what I just said, all right? You don't have to write it the way I got to write it, but I got to teach it, so I got to write it the way I can read it. I want you to write down the word power. I'm going to show you something. A-D-U-N-A-T-O-S. Adunatos. Now, where have you heard that word, Susan? You've heard it from dunamai. You shall be endued with power when that the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. Let's read it and let me note some words here. In Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 8, it says, now let me slow down, I'm getting excited. Number one, you need to know that Calvinist or Arminianist, none of them, neither side, have enough of information about this particular Greek passage and the way it is written to prove without a shadow of a doubt they're right. Did you hear what I just said? In other words, there's things that we know, like Didasco is teacher, and we know it was written in this form to talk about Plato, and we know there's a lot we know about the Greek language. But there are areas still today, because we don't have original words of the epistemology of words, we don't have the way that Herodotus said it, or we don't have the way that Plato talked about it, or Augustine. We're left without, there are missing pieces of history about the interpretation of Greek words. And you actually are in a passage that is very, very, very much so in that arena. The Calvinists can make their point, and the Arminianists can make their point. The point is, neither of them have enough of Greek knowledge. We don't have enough of Greek knowledge that has lasted for us to know how they really interpreted this passage for sure 2,000 years ago. So we have to approach the scripture with humility. Say amen. But look at what it says. Hebrews 6, 4 and 8. It says, for it is impossible to renew to repentance. What is that word impossible? Adunatos. Impossible. Very important. If the premise that I'm introducing you tonight is that you cannot lose your salvation, but you can apostate, and backsliding is not an issue in the New Testament, but backsliding is real and will lead you to apostasy, the complete loss of your faith. You can't lose it, but you can give it up. And anyone who says you can't has never read the scriptures. You most certainly can give it up. You most certainly can say, I will never serve you again. Now, where God's grace goes in that is amazing to me. I'm not sure. But it says, for it is impossible to renew to repentance those that were once enlightened. Write that word down. Enlightened. Enlightened. Let me show you something. This is very important. I'm not going to do a lot of this tonight. But I'm going to do enough to give you something to chew on until I can spend 45 minutes on it next Wednesday night. This word means enlightened. It comes from the Greek word photos. Photos. Photo. Photo. Photos. Now watch this. Impossible comes from dunamai, power. Enlightened comes from photos. Photo. I'm going to give you the explanation in just a minute. It is impossible for those that once were enlightened who tasted the heavenly gift, became companions with the Holy Spirit, tasted God's good work and the powers of the coming age, which is always eschatological in meaning, which means when you see the phrase, the powers of the coming age, it was always talk about, always, it always means when you interpret it, the coming of the Son of Man or the coming of the Messiah. And who have fallen away, look at the word fallen away, because to their own harm are re-crucifying the Son of God and holding him up to contempt. We'll stop right there because I want to pray. But I want you to understand something. I want you to do me a favor. Go to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13. Don't lose your place. I need somebody's Bible because my Hebrews 5 is missing. Can I see your Bible? I don't want a new Bible. Hebrews, what did I say? 5:13. Here we go. Look here. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, underline the word infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness, but solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. You've heard me quote that scripture a lot of times. I want you to write down that word infant, and I'm going to show you a very good definition of this scripture that is safe regardless of the questions we have in the Greek. Take a look at the word impossible. It is impossible, the writer of Hebrews says. I think it was Paul or the daughters of Philip. Not sure. Adunatos means impossible, and the word means power. But watch this. It doesn't just mean power. It means power within. Power within. So we're talking about dunamai, power in within. When you shall receive the Holy Ghost, power shall come upon you. We're talking about a power within. So we're not talking about losing something here. We're not talking about where'd my keys go. We're not talking about I love God and it just kind of got away from me. No. We're talking about it is impossible for those that have a power within. Now here's where it gets really, when I read this, I had to read it 3 or 4 times and looked at like 30 commentaries to make sure that I wasn't seeing it the wrong way. Now look at the word photoletos, which gives us a word photos, enlightened. It is impossible with the power within. It is impossible when God is living in you and the power is within. Those that have the power that are within have been enlightened. What's that mean? That word enlightened actually means to bring or to make known. It actually means a shining illumination. Now watch this. It is impossible for those that have tasted of God. It is impossible for those that knew God. It is impossible for those that had him living within him. Who have him living within like a photograph. That it's an image. It's not an illusion. It's not a blurry picture. It's not someone who's gray and black and red and green. No, it's a clear picture here. You've been enlightened. Everyone knows and everyone knew you were born again. Everyone knew. Listen, I get hair standing on top of my head preaching this tonight. Everyone knew you were born again. Everyone knew you used to sing in the choir. Everyone knew you loved God and you used to give God praise. Everybody knew you felt a call to preach. Everybody knew you preached. Everybody knew it. Why? Because your life within gave a picture without an exact replica. It was an exact image of Jesus Christ. So there's no mistaken identity here. They took a picture of the way you used to live for Jesus. When it says those that have been enlightened, someone took a picture. God took a picture of your walk when you were on fire for him. You formed an identity amongst people. We're not talking about people who get saved because their husband left them and you never see them again. I don't think they ever got saved. We're not talking about people who get saved and were weak or didn't last because of the way they sowed the word in their life. We're not talking about those people. No, no, no. We are specifically talking about a group of people that had the Holy Ghost within firmly, no doubt about it, who had such lives that their lives were pictures of what it meant to serve God. Photos. They were pictures. They were images. They were paintings of the love of God, of grace, of forgiveness, of the power of the Holy Ghost, of praying, of healing. They used to love God with everything in their heart. They were a shining illumination of what it meant to love God. But then this one gets real interesting. The one that connects these two is this one, which means infant. And that's really interesting here, because the word infant here, this word was used for the word infant. But the writer of Hebrew uses this as a Greek word to mean falling back from a state of an infant. It means falling back from an infant into apostasy. It actually means the emphasis isn't on being an infant. The emphasis is on being mature. Those that are mature know how to drink milk, and those that aren't mature or drink milk. Those that aren't mature, or those that are mature know how to eat meat, and those that aren't mature can barely drink milk. But when you look at that same word in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32, you will see that it this same word enlightened is used, and actually means the knowledge of the truth. And when you look at, go to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 2, where it says, teaching about ritual washings, laying on of hands, and the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment, we will do this if God permits. For it is impossible through the power within you to renew to repentance those who were once photographed, being great for God, who tasted, and it tells us that what they tasted. It tells us, I mean, it says they tasted the heavenly gift, which is salvation. You can compare that to Romans 6:23. It says they were partakers of the Holy Ghost. You can look at Acts chapter 2, verse 38. They were tasting the good works of God. And you can look at James chapter 1, verse 21. And they even tasted God so deeply that they understood he's coming back in the age to come. So we're not talking about babies drinking milk. We're not talking about people who were not mature. We're talking about people who were mature. People who knew how to rightly divide the word of God. People who tasted the heavenly gift. People who were partakers of the Holy Spirit. People who took the good word of God. People who looked for the coming of the Son of Man. And here's the point. If you get knocked out as an infant, is God going to... There's a great possibility you'll get knocked out as an infant in the house of God. That's true of infants in third world countries. That's true of infants that are animals. That's true of any infant. But in the house of God, we've got to get infants into the Word of God to strengthen them. But Paul, the writer of Hebrews, says you be very careful, because you can have the power within. And you can have been enlightened and returned to being an infant. You want to know what real backsliding, even though it's not in the New Testament, looks like? That right there. What does that mean? That means that you knew through the power of the Holy Ghost. Let's use Amy Simple McPherson real quick. Most famous evangelist in America during the 1920s, In 1915, right around there in Canada, she stood up and humiliated a preacher. Her mother and father were extremely embarrassed. She refuted the preacher who was for creation and against evolution. She made a fool of him. How did she get saved? She went to hear a guy named McPherson preach the gospel, who was a Methodist, and got filled with the Holy Ghost. And she heard him speak in tongues in one of those early Pentecostal services. And she says to herself, I never doubted again. And what's the Bible say in Romans? It says, tongues is a sign for the unbeliever. She says, I never doubted it again that there wasn't a God. And she began to be, of course, she didn't have the knowledge that, neither did Darwin, that we have today about answering those questions. And I can't get into that, but there's a lot of stuff we know today that they didn't know then. And so she was a strict creationist. But it was tongues that brought her there, and she knew in her spirit there was a God. And she knew within her spirit that speaking in tongues was right. So what'd she do? She preached all over this world. That woman died of exhaustion. Really did. And she was so full of God, she had been enlightened. The whole world knew her picture. Everybody knew who she was. But during the deepest, darkest time of her life, and I've actually been studying a lot of this for my PhD lately, but during the deepest, darkest times of her life, she struggled. She struggled with trying to go to sleep and prescription medication in the 20s, 27, 28, 29. She struggled with wanting to be loved. She struggled. But it's he that endures unto the end that is saved. But what would have happened if she, after having been mature, what is being mature? It's eating meat. What is eating meat according to the book of Hebrews? It means you take that Bible and, Richard, you know what's right and you know what's wrong by using scripture. What would have happened if she had walked away? And that's the word you need to be using. Stop using these stupid little phrases that all these people who like to argue about once you're saved, always saved, or if you can lose your salvation. They don't even use the right language. But can you walk away? If you walk away, what are you doing? You're walking away from maturity. You're walking away like Katy Perry. You're walking away like Brad Pitt. You're walking away the way you were raised and the way you used to live. Do you know how Katy Perry became famous? She was leading worship at my friend's church in L.A. Walked away from it. And wasn't mature enough to answer the questions and endure until the end. And I'm hoping that she goes back. But it's walking away from maturity. What is maturity? It's believing that the Bible is the Word of God. It's believing and trusting that no trial lasts forever. It's believing and trusting God that He's coming again and that His Word is right and you can prove it archaeologically and you can prove it historically. It's being enlightened. It's your prayer time every day going out. It's the absence of reading the scripture. It becomes the absence of praying in the Holy Ghost. It becomes the absence of what you used to do so well that there was a picture within you. It is walking away. It is backsliding. Well, backsliding has a purpose. It uses sin to bring you to apostasy. What is apostasy? It is blaspheming the Holy Ghost. What do you mean there? I've heard that scripture my whole life. You blaspheme the Holy Ghost. Listen, the only way you can't get saved is to say that Jesus isn't the only way to heaven. Everybody understand that? And when you get to the place where you say, I don't know if Jesus is the only way to heaven anymore. I just don't know anymore. You know where how you got to that place? You entertained sin too long in your life. You stop feeding your spirit. You stop putting Sundays and Wednesdays in Bible studies first. You stop praying when there was a prayer meeting. You stopped and you backslid from maturity. And that's why sin is dangerous. That is why sin will destroy your soul. Does that mean that if I'm in the middle and I'm struggling and I'm reading Peter in left to right and I'm wondering where God is and I'm wondering if I got it all right and I'm struggling, does that mean if he came back I'd be left behind? No! But you got to be careful on a journey of rebellion, because a journey of rebellion will lead you to hell. It is not about whether you're once saved, always saved. The answer is yes. Once you're saved and you want to be saved, you'll always be saved. Nobody can snatch you from the hand of God, including your own sin, because Jesus died on the cross to snatch you from that. Somebody say, thank God for grace. But if I was the devil, don't you think for 2 minutes that I wasn't going to find a way to unravel you on that subject? I'd either make you stop cutting your hair and wearing dresses all the time. And I don't mean to be mean, but I went to a very strict religious meeting here a while back just to listen to the music. And the pastor's a sweet man. I love him. But I was the only one in a room of 1,000 people that I could find that had a Bible. I was the oddball out because I had the scriptures. I was ready to take notes. Something's wrong. Backsliding and losing your salvation, could it be an issue of maturity, not of an infant? How many of you are going to knock your kids in the head as soon as they fall down or are trying to walk? But once they get 18 and they decide to walk out, what are you going to do about it? You're going to let them go. And God says, if you want to go, you can go, because ain't nobody going to love me through force. Predestined or not predestined. So you need to understand that apostasy, and you need to write this down, apostasy arises from unbelief. Apostasy arises from unbelief. You have apostasy, and it arises from unbelief. Watch this. And it results, I know a backslider in 2 seconds, buddy. I can tell you who's on the verge of apostasy. All I have to do is watch how hard and mean they want to be on Facebook. That's true. When you love God, Mike, it just pours out everywhere. Billy, Robbie, it just pours out everywhere. I just love God. And then they backslide and they want to look hard. Show me someone who wants to look hard, and I'll show you someone not living right. I didn't say someone isn't saved. I said someone who's bait. Who's bait for the adversary. Bait. Matthew 11 and 6. He, blessed is the man that's not offended in me. Trap of death. Being offended. And so maybe the argument in the last 600 years has developed into something a complete nonsense, according to the scriptures, of course. Maybe it's not whether you can lose your salvation or not. Where'd it go? Well, it was right here. Nope. Maybe it comes from those that knew God, believed his word, and loved him, and then went on a journey of rebellion thinking they were going to be okay. Not understanding that God loves you, but what does the Bible say about taking your hand out from underneath the protection of God? You look at even that scripture says in Galatians, it says, no matter what happens to you, God will turn it around for your good. I'll shout about that. Everybody say hallelujah. Read the last verse. You know what the last verse says in that scripture? It says, no matter what happens to you, God will turn it around for your good through working with the Christ that is in you. In other words, if there's nothing in you, there's nothing to work with. Working within the purpose, working within the call of Christ, working within the anointing, working within the unction that is within you. So you can go around and say, "Nah, what I just said is God, nothing, everything." Got so many scriptures going through my head, I feel like Rain Man. What's the scripture I just said? All things work together through the good that and the love of the Lord, who are called according to his purposes through, what's it say? Huh? Yeah, through the Holy Spirit that's working in you. If there's nothing to work in and you've been led away by Satan, I got family members that I'm losing sleep over right now. You've been led away by Satan, and you get out here and he attacks you and you pray, "Oh God," he can't hear nothing but repentance, even in the life of a believer. You got to give him something to work with. And the only way Satan can ever send you to hell is for you to get mature in Christ and know your Bible and then say, "This thing's rubbish." Or to say, "I no longer believe it and I no longer want to serve him." So it's not about once saved, always saved, or falling out of grace. And that's stupid, because number one, falling from grace actually means you rely on something other than grace for salvation. Read your Bible. Apostasy rises from unbelief, results in the hardening of the heart. Now here's the thing that's so dangerous. And folks, I love you, and I'm a shepherd of a lot of people. I'm watching Satan sift people as wheat. I'm watching them. Our church, all over the world. I ate lunch with 9 pastors yesterday. They're all talking about the same thing. They say it this way: people have gone nuts. Fallen away. People that you never thought would walk away from God. Then there are people who got jailhouse religion. It gets bad. Shikah Moshiach. It gets good. Goodbye, goodbye. But apostasy arises from unbelief, and the results are a hardened heart. And what does the Bible say? From the issues of the heart springs life. Thank you, Richard. From the issues of the heart springs the issues of life. But watch this, and I know we don't have any time to pray. I'm going to dismiss you, then I'm going to pray. And no guilt to anybody that's got to go, because I'm going to make sure on Wednesday nights I get you out here at 8. Results, the hardening of the heart. This is so important, Richard. It develops the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost, the inability to repent. How many believe Jesus is the only way to heaven? How many of you know people used to believe it that don't believe it now? I know preachers like that. And so it's not whether you're saved or always saved. No, let's answer the simple questions tonight. Can you lose your salvation? No. Is backsliding mean that you aren't saved? No. It's not even in the New Testament. It's not even a Greek word. God calls forth through Jeremiah and other prophets in the Old Testament. It says, "Stop your backsliding, Israel." But how many of you know he still delivered them? But how many of you know there was a section of Israel that went off on the deep end and never returned to God? They're everywhere right now in the Jewish nation. The most unlikely faith system of families to not hold their family and their faith system in America are Jews. Apostasy arises out of unbelief. I'm going through a tough time. I don't believe God's here. I don't believe it anymore. It didn't work for me. Be very careful with that foolish thought, because God has got a time set, Jericho, for your deliverance. I used to love God to the point that I made an impact, and my soul was photographed by thousands of people who knew where I was and what I stood for. And then I return to being an infant. That's why he uses this word. The issue is maturity, becoming an infant again, which leads to apostasy and unbelief, the result of which is a hardened heart, and you have no feeling whatsoever about the things of God. That's why you can easily say it. I've heard old preachers preach it, said, if you're wondering if you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, I can promise you, you haven't. And they'd say, why? And the preacher would go, because you wouldn't want to be here. That's true. But when your heart gets hardened and you don't, how does your heart get hardened? There's going to be a major altar call Sunday. And I feel it. I feel it deep down in my bones. But say last Sunday, how many of you got anything out of that message? Amen. But you can't bring this into that season. Let's say God pricks your heart and you brought that into this season and now you want to repent of it. And you say, not today. And you lift your hand so everybody will leave you alone, but you know there's no communion going on. You have hardened your heart. Say somebody gives you a word from the Lord and says, you need to get back in church, and you get offended at them. You have hardened your heart. Say God says you're not supposed to be sleeping around. You're going to sleep around with everybody, and you're going to get some Ajax can't take off. And you keep sleeping around. You've hardened your heart. And the danger of sin is that it is designed to lead you to apostasy where you have the inability to repent. So can you lose your salvation? No. Can you walk away from it? Yes. Absolutely no doubt about it. How many of you got anything out of this tonight? We're going to really hit it hot and heavy next Wednesday. I'm going to pray. Jeremy, turn the music on. Let's give 15 minutes to God. If you can, if you've got to be dismissed, please leave quietly. Okay, I understand it. I want to make sure you're out here at 8 o'clock. But I want you to pray for the revival, for God to waken people up and bring people back to him that have been away from him. I want to see people saved and brought back to God and refilled with the Holy Ghost. Anybody with me? All right, that's what we pray. God, touch these precious people. Thanks for coming out for a Bible study and rightly dividing the word of truth so we need not be ashamed. In Jesus' name, amen.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.